message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today. We trust that our time together in God's Word will be a real blessing and a help to you. We're going to look again at the book of Romans and begin to look at the foundation of God's grace as it's laid in the book of Romans. And we've tried to say to you that God desires our edification as a believer. He desires for you and for me to build in our soul a house of sound doctrine. Hold fast to that form of sound words, Paul says. And that edification structure that's to be built into our soul is a structure of doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul describes himself as a pattern. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." For those who believe on Christ for life everlasting, the Apostle Paul is a pattern for you and for me. And that's very clear, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. Now, a pattern is a blueprint. And that blueprint, for those who would come after Paul and trust Christ, we're to look to Paul to find this blueprint that the Lord Jesus Christ has drawn and given to us as our pattern for today. Now, you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, for example, come with me there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9, where the Apostle Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given me, as a wise master builder." Now, Paul is the wise master builder. The master builder is the one that goes and takes the blueprint and goes to the job site and takes the material and assembles it and puts it together according to the instructions that the blueprint has on it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the architect of the plan. Paul is the wise master builder. He goes to the site and he lays down the doctrine according to the blueprint that Christ gave him. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. You see, the issue of this form of sound words, this pattern that we're to follow, is a pattern of doctrine laid down by the Apostle Paul in his epistles. Now, that information, it's very important that we go by that information, that we understand the information. And that's why in last week's broadcast, we studied the structure in Romans chapter 16, the edification process, the design, this divinely given design and pattern for the edification of the believer. And we saw how that there is a foundation laid. Paul calls it my gospel. Then there is a superstructure, a building that is built upon that foundation. And then there is a roof up here with an observation deck on it out of which we can look out and see the program of God. The foundation orients us to God's grace. The superstructure, the building, orients us to the goal of what it is God's doing. The superstructure, I mean the observation deck up here, lets us view God's glory. The foundation is laid for us about the cross work of Christ in the book of Romans. The superstructure and the building is laid, the doctrine is laid about the church, the body of Christ, in the book of Ephesians. The observation roof up here is found in the book of Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord. And then the pastoral epistles, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, talk to us about the congregation that lives in this building and through whom the doctrine lives out into lives of godliness, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about the believers being living epistles. This truth living in them, the Word of God living in them and through them. And that's done as we lay it out according to the divine design. When Paul says, I have laid the foundation, he laid the foundation information. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Corinthians is a book that relates to Romans. Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians deal with the foundation information. Paul laid the foundation. Now I want to take the book of Romans with you now. We're going to move on in our studies and move over here and lay out this foundation. Because when you come to the book of Romans, you find that the foundation in Romans is laid out there are basically four foundation stones that the Apostle Paul lays in the book of Romans that we need to understand. The book of Romans there are four basic foundation units. Paul writes the book of Romans, chapter number 1, Romans chapter 1, verse number 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end, that you may be established. That is, here's what establishment is. And I say it because it's important. To the end that you may be established. That is, he's going to define for you what spiritual establishment is. And I want you to notice something. He doesn't say one word about getting water baptized. He doesn't say one word about speaking in tongues. He doesn't say one word about getting the holy breeze down your back. He doesn't say one word about being solemn and going to the church assemblies and being meetings and doing the sacraments and keeping the law. He doesn't say one word about tithing. He doesn't say one word about witnessing. He doesn't say one word about many of the things that preachers and teachers today tell you that you need to do in order to be doing what God wants you to do. He talks to you about being established in some doctrine. He talks to you about getting some doctrinal understanding in your fixed in your mind and in your heart so that you would be established, stabilized, not tossed to and fro, not unlearned and unstable, but so that your life would be able to be a steady, consistent, spiritual existence. To the end that you may be established, here is what establishment is. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, once again, he is not talking about these people getting saved initially. They already were saved people. He's talking about them sharing and understanding with him about what God did for them at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary up here, and when he died there 2,000 years ago, God was in Christ doing some things. And when Jesus Christ died there, there are some things that God Almighty accomplished. And Paul is saying, I want you to understand what this cross and the work of Jesus Christ there at Calvary has accomplished and what God's done through it. And the mutual faith is, he said, I want you to understand the doctrine about what God did there at Calvary when Christ died there. And I'm going to write the doctrine down for you, and I want you to share an understanding that I have of that. Jesus Christ gives to Paul an understanding of what the cross accomplished, understanding about the foundation of it, an orientation to grace. And everything in this foundation is going to be God's riches for you at Christ's expense. It's going to be grace. Grace, the word means unmerited favor. Doctrinally, scripturally, grace is all that God is free to do for you and for me through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary when he died to pay for all of our sins and he was raised again the third day as the author of eternal life to everyone that believes. And the book of Romans is written to establish your understanding in a clear understanding of what was accomplished there. Now, understand something. If you're going to build a house like this, of doctrine, you have to start at the foundation. What most Christians' lives are like, they're like a fellow who orders a house. He goes and he buys the yard and he gets the house delivered. And you know, nowadays they're all prefab. And they come delivered on a big flatbed truck. And they take them all off in crates and they put it on the yard there. And then the construction men come. And they come in and they say, well, all right, now we're going to start working. And some carpenter shows up the first day and he says, you know, I need to go over here and put these footings in to lay the foundation. But boy, you know, it's such a pretty day today and it's cool. And you know, when you put on a roof, if it's hot, it's miserable. So I think today that what I'm going to do is go out here and I'm going to break the shingles out. While it's a nice cool day, I'm going to put on the shingles. And he goes out and he gets the shingles and he goes out in the front yard and he starts up by the sidewalk and he starts nailing those shingles to the ground. And he puts his chalk line out and he gets his hammer and he lines them up. And he does a beautiful job of squaring off those shingles. And he lays all 25 squares of the shingles on the front yard out there just as pretty as you please. Now, you know what's going to happen when you get there? You're going to look at that and those shingles on the ground out there and you're going to blow your lid. You're going to come uncorked. Why? Because the shingles don't go on the front yard. You know where the shingles go? They go on the roof. And you can't put the shingles on the roof till you put the superstructure up. You can't put that up till you put the foundation up. But what happens in your life is you go up here and you get a piece, and you go over here and you get a piece, and you go over here and you get a piece, and then you run over somewhere that isn't even in the house over in the kingdom program, and you get a piece out of that over in Matthew, you know, and you're over here trying to knock boards up there that don't even belong. And what you wind up with, you don't wind up with a temple, a holy habitation of God by the Spirit. You wind up with a little shanty shack that nobody can live in, and the first time the wind blows, just blows all down. You know why? You didn't build the thing according to the design. Paul said, I've laid the foundation. Let every man take heed how he build thereon. Paul said, I laid the thing. You better be careful that you build according to the design that I'm laying down in the book. So what we're trying to do in our studies is to understand how God lays the design out and builds the house and then build it according to the blueprint. First thing you have to do is build the foundation. First thing to know about, it's not this stuff up here, not this stuff in here, it's this foundation. The first thing you have to be oriented to is God's grace. God's wonderful grace. The marvelous thing about this is, if you just start reading in Paul's epistles and start reading in Romans and you go to the end, you'll go through the design the way it's meant to go through. So that's what we're going to do. Grace. Now the book of Romans is divided into four sections. There are four foundation blocks. Chapter 1 through 5. Chapter 6 through 8, chapter 9 through 11, and chapter 12 through chapter 16. And those four divisions in the book of Romans are four foundation footing stones that are laid that make up the foundation that support the house. All of them have to do with grace. All of them have to do with what God is free to do for us through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now you'll notice that Paul calls this thing my gospel. That's what he calls the foundation. That is, it's Paul's gospel. It's not Peter's gospel. It's not the gospel preached on the day of Pentecost. It's not the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ preached while he was on earth. You go back in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to get your information for today. Try to find out how you're to be just before God, how your life is to operate in time today. And you're going to wind up with total frustration and confusion. I worry about people when they're taught to pray out of Matthew 6. I mean, I really do. Maybe you don't, but I do. I worry about people taught to pray out of Matthew 6 because somewhere along the line, excuse me, it's going to dawn on you that you ought to try to do everything in Matthew 6 and Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, and you can't do everything in those passages. You know why? Because God isn't doing them today. And you've never been big enough a day in your life, my dear friend, to make God do something he isn't doing. And it's just frustration to try to do something God isn't doing and claim God's doing it. It doesn't work. I worry about people when they go back to Mark 16 to be taught that Mark 16 is what they ought to follow. Well, folks, if you're going to follow Mark 16, you have to teach baptismal salvation. You have to teach snake handling snakes and all the rest. I mean, unless you want to just tear that passage out of the Word of God, and then I really worry about you. You see, there are problems back there. Unless you're willing to be treated like Ananias and Sapphira were treated in Acts 5 for messing around and sinning at the offering collection box, you don't want to go back in early Acts, see? The problem, I worry about people that go back to an early Acts period and say, well, that's our program, because we're not treated like Ananias and Sapphira was when we mess up at the offering box and sin at the collection plate, are we? Well, then you begin to think God doesn't mean what he says and doesn't say what he means, but he does. The reason those things don't work today is I didn't program today. Here's the program. And if you want to understand how to be established and what the basis of it is, you'll find those four foundation blocks in Romans. We'll explain it to you. The first one, the first foundation block, chapter 1 through 5, is the issue of being justified by grace through faith plus nothing. Chapter 6, 7, and 8 has to do with living by grace, living under the under grace, under the administration and the control and the reign of grace. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 has to do with the dispensation of grace. And chapter 12 through 16 has to do with walking in time as a son, has to do with your sonship walk under grace. How it is that you come to God, how can you be just before God? The question of how God has dealt with your sins and what your sins are all about and so forth are dealt with in chapter number 1 to 5. The issue of your sins and your failures, being placed on the Lord Jesus Christ and God pouring His wrath out there on Him, and Him, here you are in your sins, and putting you over here into Christ, and in Christ, making you righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, when you get transferred out of Adam back over here and you're placed into Christ over here, there's some marvelous things happen to you. The way you get to be righteous, just before God, have your sins forgiven, is explained in Romans chapter number 1 to 5. Now, those five chapters give you an understanding of the details of the justice of God. If you look at Romans chapter number 2, and we're going to start studying next week the details of these things, I just want you to see how they work together. Today. Chapter 2, verse number 6 of the book of Romans, talking about God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. What will God give them? Eternal life. But to them who are contentious and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, what do they get? Indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul that doeth evil. Look at here. God's justice says that He'll give eternal life to anybody that's got perfect righteousness. Do you have absolute perfect righteousness? Well, then you can have eternal life. If you don't, you're going to get tribulation, anguish, wrath, and indignation. Now tell me something. Is there a problem with that for you? Well, sure there is. You know why? Because chapter 3, verse 23 says, there's no difference, for all have sinned. You don't have absolute perfect righteousness. You know how many times Adam and Eve had to sin to get kicked out of the Garden of Eden? One time. And you've got a whole lot more than that on your account. You know what the justice of God is? The justice of God condemns you because of your sin. Your sin condemns you. You're not perfect. And to go to heaven to be with God, you have to be perfect. And you're not perfect. You don't have absolute righteousness. That's your situation. But chapter 3, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God is manifest. Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. See, that's what we need. We need God's righteousness. Not mine, which is flawed, but God's, which is perfect. And that's why verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You see, what you find in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 is that you're condemned. The justice of God condemns us because we're sinners. But chapter 3 tells us that Jesus Christ, when He went to Calvary, He died to pay for all of our sins that we might be declared the righteousness of God in Him. In Jesus Christ, there's absolute righteousness. You know where your sins are taken care of? They're not taken care of at a confessional booth. They're not taken care of on your knees crying big crocodile tears of repentance before God. They're taken care of at Calvary. They're not taken care of out on the staircase of labor and sacrificial offering and sacraments. They're taken care of when Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. He died to pay for what's wrong with you. Jesus Christ and He alone offered a fully satisfying sacrifice. It's called a propitiation, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, a fully satisfying sacrifice through faith in His blood. God Almighty's faith rests in the fact that Jesus Christ's blood was shed for you and that it's a sufficient payment for your sins. Now, what do you believe about that? Do you believe what God believes? God looks at what His Son did, and Isaiah 53 says His soul is satisfied with the travail of His Son. Are you satisfied with what Jesus did at Calvary? That's called faith. Chapter number 4 tells you that now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You know what God does? When you put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary, God Almighty counts your faith in what his Son did. Faith is the only thing you can do without doing anything. Faith is to him that works not, doesn't do anything, but believes on him that just trust what somebody else did. When you do that, God counts your faith in his Son's death at Calvary as your death, and you pass from death to life by being placed in his Son. God can give you eternal life if you have absolute righteousness. In Christ you have righteousness, therefore he can give you his life based upon faith and faith alone. That's why verse 16 says in Romans 4, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all that believe. And so you come to chapter number 5 of Romans, and Romans chapter 5, the first 11 verses are the greatest passage in all the Word of God on the eternal security of the believer in Jesus Christ. If you're in him and you have his righteousness, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if you're in him and you have his righteousness, You know something, folks? That's what you call security. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There you are. You're justified, you're righteous, you're secure, your sins are forgiven, you have everlasting life as a present possession from God, you're in Christ, you're sealed with the door shut behind you, and you can't get out even if you want to. What a status. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. We're going to have fun studying that. Somebody says, well, I'll preach it, but if you tell people that, well, then they'll just go out and sin. You're saying they can go sin. That's why you get chapter 6. Paul says, okay, now that you understand about the justification through the cross work, now let's see. He didn't just take care of all your sins and make you righteous, but he also gave you his life. And when he did that, he did more to you than just forgive your sins. He did more to you than you just died to sin. He made you alive to God. There's some more involved. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know what you get over in chapter 6, 7, and 8? Chapter 6, you see, you learn that you're dead to sin. Sin doesn't control you, doesn't dominate you, doesn't run your life anymore, reign in your life anymore, but you've been made alive unto God. God's life is the life that you live now. It's God's life living in you. And we're going to see some marvelous things over here about how God has equipped you in time right now to live a life of absolute, complete, total victory in Jesus Christ. God doesn't have another plan for your life. The only plan God has for your life is one of absolute, complete victory in Christ. He that is dead is freed from sin. For in that he died unto sin once, and in that he liveth unto God. Listen, God has a plan of victory for you in Jesus Christ. And that's what you find in Romans 6. You see there that the step that deals with the principle of sin and is the answer to its power. Romans chapter 7, you're dead to the law. In Romans 7, you see the struggle that has to do with the principle of the law and trying to perform to get God's blessing and to perform and to work in order to have God's approbation. But in Romans 7, you see that you're not only dead to sin, but you're dead to the law. And you see the answer to the bondage of the law, and you find out that you're under grace. And that the reason sin doesn't have dominion over you is that you're not under the law, but you're under grace. A whole new way of thinking, a whole new system of operating. Chapter 8, he tells you about the walk that's based upon the life in Christ Jesus that God has given us when we trusted him, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And you have the walk based on the principle of life in Christ as it's motivated by the spirit of life. Here, you've been equipped to live for God's glory. Chapter 9, 10, and 11 is a dispensational section. It tells you that you're not Israel. You are not Israel. And Israel's promises and Israel's programs do not belong to you. You're not under Israel's commission. You're not under Israel's baptism. You're not under Israel's laws. You're not under Israel's regulation. You're not under Israel's program. God has set Israel aside and all of her program aside, and he's ushered in something brand new, and that's the dispensation of grace in the church, the body of Christ. And Romans 9, 10, and 11 tells you two things. Number one, God set Israel aside, formed the body of Christ. You're not Israel. They've been set aside. It would be of no advantage to you today to be Israel, because Israel has no advantage before God today. But God isn't through with Israel. for the gifts and calling of God without repentance. And what God has done with Israel and has promised to do with Israel in the future, He'll do it. He's just interrupted the program today. And then the last section, you want to be sure you understand who you are and who you aren't. Then the last section, chapter 12 to 16 over there, deals with the issue of walking, practical illustrations and practical instructions as to how to take all this doctrine and put it into shoe leather in the details of your life. And you see practical instructions about how to practically live. You see, we don't base our faith on our experience, but sound doctrine and truth can always be confirmed in your experience. And Romans 12 to 16 deal with practical instructions about how to live as a member of the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace under the administration of God's grace. And so you see your sonship walk on display, displaying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, living as that new creature and having His life be the life that lives through you. You know what that is? All that is the foundation that equips you to live in time right now in the circumstances and details of your life as a member of the body of Christ. Now, if you want to know who the body of Christ is, what He's going to do with it, that'll be we'll get up there. But we're going to get this first. Because I guarantee you, if you'll get your feet established on that, you'll understand how to deal with sin in your life and who you are and who God's made you and why you're accepted in Christ, how you've been empowered to live and how to put that, how that works in your life, why you aren't Israel and why you don't need to be confused with Israel's program, trying to operate it today, and then you'll see the practical life of Jesus Christ living itself out through you. That's the foundation. You know, for a lot of people, they don't think the Christian life gets any higher than that. God says that's where it starts. But you know, the place it really begins is the moment you trust Christ. I trust you've done that. I trust you've passed from death to life simply by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have, why don't you have the mutual faith with Paul? Why don't you come to a mutual understanding of what God did for you in His Son? By getting in the book. Read the book of Romans through from one end to the other, would you, before next week? And then join us again next week, this same time, and we'll study the first foundation stone. Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Building According to the Pattern. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 215. That's tape offer number 215. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.